Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week, we hear from Dr. Mike McKenna, Professor of Reading at the University of Virginia. He does research involving a U.S. survey of middle school student attitudes towards reading. Welcome, Dr. McKenna.
Glad to be here.
We're glad you're with us. First, tell us about yourself and how in the world did you get interested in middle school students and their attitudes towards reading?
Well, I've for a very long time been interested in the development of attitudes towards reading, and part of that is because of evidence that has shown that attitudes tend to worsen as kids get older, and as we move forward through the years, there's simply evidence that people are reading less than they used to. So this is somewhat concerning to me, and it led back in the 80s and early 90s to the development of an instrument that's proved fairly popular based on the Garfield cartoon character. This was published in The Reading Teacher in 1990 and has been translated into several languages. And that extends into sixth grade, but that's it.
Okay.
And because we documented a decline in positive attitudes, we were interested more recently in taking a specific look at middle schools to see what was happening there. So that's kind of the history of what prompted us to develop this survey and administer it to a national sample.
Now, you know, if we get our students to be proficient readers, why would we care about their attitudes?
Well, I think that that's only half of the equation. Being proficient is a prerequisite, we find, to becoming an avid reader, but there are plenty of people who are proficient who choose not to read, who spend leisure time doing other things, a condition that some researchers have described as illiteracy. So we're trying to combat that and really do everything we can to make reading a central part of the lives of individuals, because we think that that is a fulfilling accomplishment.
Okay. And in your survey, you differentiate online and offline attitudes. Why did you do that?
Well, you know, in the earlier survey for elementary kids, this was not really an issue. It was, we differentiated it into attitudes towards school-related or academic purposes, and then attitudes towards recreational purposes, but it was all print. That was the assumption. But it, I think times have changed, and digital environments are real, so we decided to cut the pie another way and look at digital versus print environments. So the combination of purpose, recreational versus academic, and medium, print versus digital, gives us four different combinations that we were interested in looking at. And, of course, those are very viable in the middle school years because of the proficiency, the accomplishment of most middle schoolers in terms of knowing how to use, exploit, and manipulate technology.
And you seem to, one of the things that intrigued me was you seem to have come up with some gender differences.
Yeah, we expected gender differences because those have been confirmed from first grade on, at least through sixth grade. So we expected those to persist. What we were interested in looking at was whether they were still true for all four of those different conditions. And what we found was that for one of the four possibilities, recreational digital reading, attitudes were actually more positive for males than females. And this surprised us, and we saw this as a possibly a small window opening for an opportunity to influence the reading attitudes of boys, of males.
Interesting. So now that you've done this study, what would you tell teachers?
Well, I think that they can, and this is one of the follow-up articles that we have actually drafted this, at this point, we would tell them to make reading attitudes part of their assessments, and we're really echoed in this by Peter Afflerbach and his colleagues who suggest that if we only test cognitive areas, skill, proficiency, which is really the norm, we're not getting the complete picture of kids.
Yeah.
So we think that this is a tool for giving a fuller portrait of individual kids and how best to serve their needs.
Mm-hmm. And what do you tell parents?
Well, I think that probably the best avenue for parents here is through the medium of teachers. The teachers can help explain on the basis of survey results like this what might benefit their kids the most. That's our hope, anyway.
Yeah. So can you give us any examples of, you know, so I'm thinking parents are at home, the kids are on Facebook or, you know, texting their friends or, you know, what do I as a parent, what do I take away from this? Do I encourage it? Do I discourage it?
Well, I think that, you know, with good parenting, it's going to involve a certain amount of monitoring. And you're probably familiar with the acronym POS, parent over shoulder, looking at exactly what's happening. But there's no surprise here that the strength of this recreational digital lies in the need for adolescents to interact with peers. That is so important, the social interaction. So we're not too surprised to see this emerging as a, sort of an outlier among these four areas. And as long as you are conducting a certain amount of monitoring of what kids are doing, I think this is probably a good way to encourage both social interaction and practicing and extending literacy skills. For example, we it's one thing for kids to read what their friends have written. It's quite another thing for them to develop a positive attitude towards reading what other people have written, which is, of course, what teachers are more interested in. However, you know, it's interesting, if you do look over the shoulder of an adolescent on, let's say, Facebook, you will find that they're not just posts from friends, but there are, you know, here's a YouTube video you might want to look at, here's an article you might want to read that I found interesting. There's more and more of that going on, and I think that represents an opportunity that, that teachers and parents, for that matter, can exploit.
Yeah, yeah. What do you tell principals?
Well, I think that principals and really policymakers at higher levels should put affective dimensions such as attitude on the table. I mean, this is part of a school's reading program. These are outcome measures that are frequently backburnered. For example, the National Assessment of Educational Progress includes items that get at some of these issues, but they are almost never reported or dealt with to any great extent. I think they deserve you know, more prominent positioning among where U.S. school populations at grades 4, 8, and 12 really stand.
Yeah,
what's
so
happening across time?
How do policymakers encourage that? What policies would you like to see in place then?
Well, I would like to see attitudinal scores. Right now, the NAEP doesn't really have a consistent set of scores that could be summarized the way a survey can. However, I'd be content with just the individual items being represented in a separate report that was communicated at the same time as the reading report card presents the data from each new administration of the cognitive side of reading achievement.
And so that way teachers would be much more aware of it, parents would be aware that the score is coming home, all that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping for a trickle-down effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
In which, you know, if the federal government, the State Department of Education, and so forth feel that these things are important enough to begin to report and support, then I think that teachers, principals will see the wisdom of it.
Right, right. Where are you going with this next? What research are you following up on?
Well, one thing that we were unable to do in the RRQ report was to relate attitudes towards these four dimensions of reading to achievement. So that's the next study or set of studies we want to do. And we couldn't do it in this study because there were so many different achievement measures given that really were apples and oranges. And another thing I think I mentioned was an article for practitioners telling how to use this survey.
Right.
And then I think most intriguingly would be the prospect of recreational reading in digital environments. I mean, we need to take this a step further and see if we can find out how to exploit some of the opportunities to promote more positive attitudes and habits among middle schoolers.
Yeah.
And that requires some qualitative teasing out of exactly what tends to be effective and what doesn't.
Yeah. Sounds like interesting work. We look forward to reading all those, too.
Yeah, hopefully you'll have a positive attitude towards it.
That's right. Dr. Mike McKenna from the University of Virginia, we thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
You can find Dr. McKenna's research in Reading Research Quarterly, Volume 47, Issue 3. Stay current with literacy research. Go to iTunes, Facebook, or Twitter and search for Voice of Literacy. You can also go to our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. McKenna. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.